This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Peter and I enjoy a nice bowl of pineapple salad. As does Roy. Everyone, and welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it was worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And there may be a police siren in the background. If so, sorry about that. I do live in Los Angeles. This week we are going on our second block of Robotech, which is episodes 13 through 24.
I thought you were going to say Running Warriors for a second.
Yeah, I keep almost saying that, honestly. Doing Running Warriors again.
It's really run out of shows. Toonami was pretty short.
Oh, God, I would never do Running Warriors again. Anyway, so let's get into the synopsis. Well, you may recall last time Rick, Lisa, Max, and Ben were abducted by the Zentradi. And they had just arrived back in Earth territory.
Yeah, just made their ridiculous escape aboard the battle pod.
Yeah, jumping on buttons and whatnot. So they return to the SDF-1 and are debriefed. Basically, summarize what we already talked about. And the SDF-1 enters Earth's atmosphere under attack from Chiron, once again.
Yeah.
Although Chiron, in this case, since Azonia has been put in control of the Zentradi forces, Chiron is a little less capable of just doing whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
She, actively stops him, unlike Britai.
Britai's just like, I love this guy. Bring this kid back.
Yeah. Well, no, Britai hates him, but he just never does anything.
Well, when he brings about it first, he's like, yeah, I like this kid. Like the cut of his chin. He's like, are you sure? Oh, this is a horrible idea.
Yeah. So, also, Chiron attacking without permission and Azonia stopping him is kind of a theme of this block.
Yeah, yeah. And it happens a couple times, even to the point where Azonia is, attacking Chiron's troops because he's that insubordinate.
So, the next episode, we're treated to a clip show, which there's really nothing to say about it.
Yeah.
Captain Global. From Global's perspective, he's just summarizing everything.
Yeah. Really, really nothing special.
Pretty bog standard stuff there. Rick and Minmay fly to see her family in Yokohama, and they're.
Oh, yeah. They're back on Earth now.
Yeah. Well, I said they entered Earth's atmosphere. They get back to Earth, they land in the ocean.
It's okay.
Everyone has a party.
Just kind of, they've kind of neglected to attack Earth. They're just kind of awkwardly surrounding it still. The Zentradi seem more focused, obviously, on the SDF.
So, anyway, Rick and Minmay meet her family. They are surprised to see her alive, because as we find out later in this episode, the government basically covered up the Fold Space disaster that destroyed Macross Island by claiming that it was some kind of nuclear attack, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, by anti-UN forces. So, not only is the entire Fold and the disappearance considered a secret, but also the fact that there are aliens at all. So,
yeah,
everyone's in
that
the dark.
Anyone from Macross Island is alive whatsoever.
Right.
They're all technically dead. Which means that they are now refugees, because putting them anywhere would indicate that that whole thing was a cover-up.
Yeah.
And the government doesn't want to do that. But anyway, the point of Rick and Minmay going back to meet her parents is mostly so that we can get introduced to Lynn Kyle,
the irritating, handsome cousin of Minmay, who's also just loves kissing on her.
Yeah, it's
awkward incest relationship. Go.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. it's like, there's no way to say it other than that it's creepy. I am not entirely sure why. Like, this again seems to me to be a prime thing that they could have altered a little bit, assuming that they are cousins in the Japanese version, to make it less creepy, but they don't, and it would have been really easy, but they just don't.
Yeah. Also, like, and no one mentions it, like, okay, yeah, they're cousins, cool.
Yeah, well, okay, so what Peter's trying to get across is, like, no one ever questions the fact that they seem to be romantically involved in some capacity. Like, it never comes up, ever. Which is strange, but, I mean, we'll get into that later. Like, at first, his introduction, he's just kind of a straw pacifist who's, like, admittedly ignorant that they're fighting aliens.
Yeah.
But he spends a lot of time at first just being like, well, I don't see why we have to fight. I mean, blah. And it's kind of irritating.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rick's super jealous of him.
Unlike the, like, philosopher characters of Gundam Wing, this guy kind of just makes pacifism look lame, like, which is so dumb.
Yeah,
but he's just because he's
that's pretty funny.
It's just because he's uninformed entirely, but also because he's just a, like, he's not even understanding the point. Like, you can be a pacifist and still be okay with being around soldiers. Like, it's not like they love being soldiers and killing things all the time.
Yeah, these guys aren't, he's like, really
rah, let's fucking ruin the Zentradi all the time, or get some heads or something. I don't know how people talk, but but you know,
let's get some heads.
They're just great, but they're just like sitting around having a meal. They're like, yeah, okay, and we happen to be officers. This is great. And then he comes in, he's like, I don't like soldiers. It's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
fucking
yeah. He is a real prick about it. Like, for no apparent reason. Rick's super jealous of him, of course, because Rick's still infatuated with Minmay.
No one fucking cares about cousins. Like,
yeah.
I mean, she's not necessarily all over him beyond, like, a slightly creepy familial extent, but he later on, like, tries to kiss her and stuff, and it's like,
well,
okay.
We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah,
because that is, anyway, Lisa thinks that Lynn Kyle looks like her dead fiance.
Yeah.
So she's also weirdly obsessed with Lynn Kyle. There's a sequence
shut
where
up about Lynn Kyle.
Yeah, like, Lynn Kyle is like he's like a self-insert fan fiction character in some ways. Like,
he absolutely is.
He just comes in, and, like, both main women on the show are interested in him in some way, and he's just, like, super cool, and none of the other characters can even say shit to him. He's also badass at martial arts, like, so much that he could just kick a bunch of people's asses with no problem.
Classic,
like,
oh, the pacifist who's badass at martial arts. I don't like fighting, but I'm really good at fighting. And everyone they fights is like, man, that guy is pretty good at fighting. Like, it is really self-insert fanfic. Like, everyone is just like, man, that guy is real good. Except the main character is like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, except Rick, who's super jealous because he's so good.
Fucking Lynn Kyle. He was really annoying in Macross also. He was known as Lynn Kaifun there, which, you know, might make more sense
some,
as a,
like,
Chinese name.
Weird pregnancy speeding up soap.
Well, and, yeah, let's make that reference that no one will ever get. I mean, the bad fanfic stuff, just, ugh. Instant pregnancy.
Oh, boy.
Then Rick gets pregnant, Kaifun gets pregnant, whatever. Lynn.
Yeah, they give birth immediately. We need to not talk about that.
What do we do?
I'm sorry to bring it up. That's my fault.
We'll have a DJ Scales episode one day.
Yeah, so Lisa is so obsessed with Lynn Kyle that there's this point where she's supposed to execute the Daedalus maneuver, which you may remember, like, punching into a Zentradi ship
using
and then
the barriers,
blowing the shit out of it.
Punching it, opening it up, and
which is
Trojan horse
pretty
attack.
Sick. Has really nice animation associated with it. Yeah. But she punches through the ship and mistimes it and, like, almost blows up Rick.
Yeah, yeah, like the debris flies and hits him and stuff, and they almost, yeah. It was like really perfect timing too, or it has to be like really perfect timing because the ship's about to crash into them and like destroy them.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and like
now
she's
Lisa,
just distracted
now.
By that.
She's like, oh,
and just distracted by that dreamy Lynn Kyle.
She's distracted by her dead fiance, but yeah.
So Rick is in the hospital for a couple episodes. He has an episode-long
hallucination,
which is
kind of clip show.
Yeah, it's interesting because basically it's really a weird clip show, but they repurpose the footage and kind of cut a different story out of what's happened so
the
far by
great.
Changing the dialogue.
The story's great too because it's like it's basically just an alternate universe where Rick sucks at everything.
Oh yeah, right.
like okay, Rick's trying, yeah. And the whole mission is like, Rick, you gotta save Minmay because Minmay was like captured by Britai. Like Britai just grabs her and runs and like disappears. It's like, oh, it's Operation Save Minmay. All right, great. Hey, Rick tried to do it. Oh, looks like Rick failed. And like people are like humiliating him on the fucking overcom.
Yeah, yeah. They're like every conversation scene between him and someone else is basically them just shitting on him for not being.
And then he like tries
cool
to,
enough.
And then he tries to ride a bike into space.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like, Rick tried to ride a bike into space and got shot down again. Sorry, Rick.
That is a really weird episode, but it's
really
kind of neat.
It's like, kind of pointless, but it's like as far as something to do with I don't know, something to do with extra footage, I guess you might as well.
Yeah, right. Like, well, that's kind of the thing. Like, I think it's kind of cool just for the sake of the experimentation of it. Like, what if we just take a bunch of footage and like, this is not a very kind comparison, and I don't mean to compare them in terms of quality, but it's sort of like Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 in that... The original conception for that movie was to recut Silent Night, Deadly Night into a sequel without shooting any other footage.
Right, yeah, which, that's, like, that's not crazy.
Yeah, but it's an interesting experiment. It's like, can you do that?
You might know that film, by the way, internet people. You might know that from the clip of a guy going,
right.
Garbage day! And then shooting a guy taking
out
his garbage.
Dude.
Got really good acting, especially on
Red Car, good point, etc. Anyway,
Billy hated bullies. It's a quotable movie.
Boy, so while Rick is in the hospital, there's this mission that Roy is sent out on, where we have the first character death, I guess, which is Roy, who
God, the fucking ultimate character death in anime history.
It's so weird because basically he goes out on this mission and his plane gets shot up a little bit and he
has
his
date
flies back and lands.
Yeah. And he has a date with Claudia set up
and he
I'm going to make your favorite
are, like,
pineapple
engaged.
Salad.
Yeah. He and Claudia are engaged, which to my recollection is not really referred to before this point.
Not really. It's hinted at that they're in a relationship. I mean, there's a scene where like he's in a room and he spanks her ass or something. Like,
Well, okay. So yeah, there is.
It's.
I mean,
it's
before
not just
that, I never really got any.
I think it's probably touched on more in
between
Macross,
them, but maybe.
Yeah. But
not at
any
rate,
much. Like yeah, it's.
She is preparing his favorite pineapple salad. So
Jesus,
he,
I'm sorry, I drank on mic again.
No worries. He lands his plane, gets out, goes to like her house, sits down on the couch, starts strumming guitar,
talking to her,
and then just dies.
And then dies. Yeah, he just stops talking. She's like, "Oh yeah, what do you think? Well, I got my salad ready, Rick or
because,
Roy?
Yeah,
oh my
because
God.
Like he like, was shot when his plane was shot, but." Instead of like going to the hospital or doing anything that a logical person would do,
yeah,
he just goes
he
to eat pineapple salad and bleeds
possibly
to death.
Over an hour, trailing blood, still bleeding, to his his fiance's apartment. Plays guitar on her couch. She doesn't notice the blood stains on the floor. Talks to her a little bit and dies. That is not a.
Yeah,
that's not. He was not killed in action. That was a Zentradi assisted suicide. Like that,
yeah, like that
like,
is like a
no
weird,
way.
Man,
it's
it is very bizarre. And it's frustrating too, because like not to be like, well, they could have done it like this. But I feel like there are so many ways to still get the interaction of him and Claudia as he's dying that are more dramatic and less silly. Like, it's just so
ridiculous.
Weird.
And that's of course is in the original Macross, and it's just as goddamn ridiculous. Like, it's just like, what? That was one thing where when I was watching the original, completely out of context, I called Doak to talk to him about it. I'm like, this just happened, and this is positively, like, I like this show a lot. This is the stupidest thing they've ever done.
Yeah, I remember that call, and just being like, at the time, too, with no context, being like, yeah, that sounds pretty dumb. Like, why is it like that? So God. Seeing it was a real treat. Also, that episode's named Farewell Big Brother, which is just, it should just be entitled Roy Dies. Like, it's, yeah.
So next episode, we have another character death.
Yeah, so basically the SDF-1 finds that it can deposit its refugees in the Toronto quadrant of Canada.
Yeah, Canada basically contacts them, or America at least contacts them, union there. It's like, hey, you know what, we'll let your refugees off, even though the UN won't. And like, great, they go over there.
And they're testing this new omnidirectional barrier,
which
is basically just a big bubble shield.
Before they had like a pinpoint barrier where they could only do certain parts. Now they're doing it, so it's a huge bubble shield. They're testing that out, test it over the city of Toronto.
or some city. I'm not sure it's Toronto specifically.
Oh, no, they're not testing it. They're using it because they're being attacked, and they're like getting blown up and stuff. And
yeah,
like, oh,
but
shit,
they've never used
overloading.
It before.
Yeah, and suddenly it kind of overloads after this really awful attack. And everyone's just like, get away from it! Like, and so the three Macross fighters, you know, Max and Ben and Rick, all have to, like, start flying away. And Rick's just like, I can't transform or something like that. Like, and he's stuck in, like, the half-walker, half-plane mode. And he just gets swallowed by the explosion and dies. Like, just like, what a shitty death for a character who doesn't really get to do
Ben,
anything.
I think you may have said Rick accidentally.
Well, okay, Ben dies. Yeah, not Rick.
Yeah.
Ben just gets swallowed by the explosion, which is kind of badass in that, like, not every character gets, like, a cool heroic death or something like that. I do kind of like that when, like...
Or a weird, drawn-out pineapple salad death.
Awful pineapple salad death. But I do kind of like that in some shows where it's, like... Because, like, I think it's cheesy to make every death some glorious thing.
Yeah,
it's like, no,
yeah,
it's
for
war.
Sure.
You're going to lose people like that, and it's, like, terrible. And that's part of what makes it so terrible. Like, there is no meaning to it. There is no glory and drama. And this guy just goes. And it was kind of crazy. I like what they don't dwell on it very much, which is sad, because I like Ben.
Yeah, they really, unlike Roy, they don't spend a lot of time being like, oh, man, Ben, like, he... just kind of dies.
Yeah, I like Ben, you know, I liked him as a character. He's never very good at fighting, and he just kind of sucks and then dies. I do enjoy that in the next episode they have a shot of Rick, like, trying to write a letter to Ben's family as his commanding officer. Like, that was pretty sad, and he could turn around and see him and stuff. Like, that was a good little bit of levity for all that, but they really, it doesn't go back to that.
It's kind of the opposite of levity, but
you know what? I don't know what that word means. I just use it sometimes.
Apparently. It's like lightness. Like,
oh, I mean, okay, yeah, I guess, yeah,
yeah. But anyway,
I did it wrong.
Peter, I'm shaking my fist.
Words.
Yeah. So because they just blew up a city accidentally.
Way to go, guys!
Again, I want to point out. Because they blew up another city, the SDF-1 is banished from Earth. And so essentially the like high command or whatever you want to call them are like, well, you're just going to kind of lead the Zentradi around because they're just trying to take you out.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really care about us. So you'll just fly around and...
And it should be noted, even after, like, they made a report to the UN, and, like, that you meet Lisa's father, who's also, like, a huge commanding guy in the UN spacey military, whatever. And so they make the report, but it's just kind of, like, met with disbelief, and they're kind of not taken seriously before that.
Yeah, right. But also, it's important to note that the the Zentradi spies.
Oh, they're lovely.
Who are Rico, Conda, and Bronn, who are just a real, just three real goofballs. Like,
yeah,
they're pretty great, actually.
Yeah, they're entertaining.
But they escape the SDF-1. They report back to Britai, and the Zentradi are, I believe, under the impression that the barrier overload was a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, it was intentional. So Britai gets put back in charge and gets, like, a huge fleet to go take out the SDF-1.
Yeah, yeah.
So Britai's back.
He leaves Azonia and is like, nah, you're not doing good. I'm taking over.
Azonia, who mostly just chastised Chiron.
Yeah, she did okay.
Unfortunately for her, because she was cool. Like, I liked Azonia.
Yeah, well, she's not out of the show.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. Also, meanwhile, like, Lin Kyle and Min Mei are starring in a movie together.
Small White Dragon.
Yep.
in the Japanese, it was Kung Fu Dandy, which I like a lot better, but...
I guess. they're both kind of...
They're silly. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, while watching the premiere of this movie, Rick and Lisa are both upset that their respective love interests are... making out,
yeah,
on camera
out
pretty much.
And they're just like, ugh. And they just walk out, like both kind of separately,
so they leave.
Walk out.
And then as Zentradi attack, you know, the SDF-1 transforms, as it often does, and Rick and Lisa get sort of stuck together in this cubic area.
Yeah.
Due to the transformation.
They have a real heart to heart.
They have a bit of, yeah, character development time.
I like that. I do enjoy that, because I like Lisa, and I like them talking to each other, and they're just like, yeah, you know, the person I like is just being shitty, and it's like, yeah. And they just kind of, like, start developing their actual romance instead.
The Zentradi, meanwhile, have seen the movie and are humorously misinterpreting it as that Lin Kyle is superpowers. Again, I want to say,
like, to all the Micronians,
very self-insert fan fiction.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, yeah, Lin Kyle's flying around. It's like a movie set in, like, ancient China or whatever, and they're flying around.
It's a martial arts
movie
of some kind.
Shooting lightning out of his hands and stuff, and they're like, the Micronians have this power.
Like, yeah, and there's a scene where he, like, kicks a giant as well, which is... Whoa, no! So Rico, Kondo, and Bronn, or as I'm going to start calling them, RKB, have kind of reintegrated into their former roles with the Zentradi. They're big again, among other things.
They brought back a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but they brought back, like, tons of shit. Like... cultural items, like a piano.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. A lot of it, I'm kind of like, how did they manage to get that?
Right, yeah, because they're small when they, like... left, and then they got turned back into giants. They get macronized or whatever. So
yeah.
It's like,
I do kind of love
get when they're huge, they can just fit all these, like, refrigerators and shit in their pockets. But...
yeah, in their hands. But I like the idea of them, like, the three of them dragging a piano, like, trying, like, stealing a piano.
Yeah, that's a deleted scene we made.
Yeah, definitely. But essentially, they've kind of started this accidental cult around the human culture and Min Mei specifically.
Yeah, yeah. They bring back these little Min Mei dolls that, like, play her music and kind of dance around when you wind them up. And, like, it kind of becomes a rave thing throughout the lower ranks of Zentradi crewmen. And even that spreads and spreads.
There's one particularly great scene where they're obviously just making shit up, and they're talking about how humans, like males and females, they press their lips together and then they, like, have babies or something.
Yeah, right, right.
And then boast about how, oh, I totally press my lips against females many times. Like, it's the,
they do have,
it's
that,
like,
great...
the most awesome, like, I have a girlfriend in Canada shit.
They do. I have a girlfriend on Macross.
Yeah, exactly.
They do have a really great little moment where they run into, like, the three operator girls from the deck, you know?
They're
kind of extra characters
bunnies
on the deck. But, like, they run into them, and they're, like, they start talking, and they kind of hit it off really awkwardly. Yeah. And they end up going to the, they're like, yeah, we work over there at the disco, just lying. And they're like, oh, we're going to go to that disco and dance. And they all just kind of go and have a date, basically, like a triple
yeah,
date.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is awesome. I love that.
Because it can also not be stressed enough that the bridge crew, for whatever reason, is totally boy crazy.
They are.
Also. Like,
yeah.
They're constantly on the lookout for.
Yeah, on the prowl for young men. Like, why can't I get a guy like that? Even like comment, like when they see Lynn Kyle, they're just like, oh man, look at him. He is good.
Well,
looking.
Of course. Like,
of course, yeah. Oh,
but,
my God.
You know, in all fairness, like everyone in this show seems to be really on the prowl. So
yeah, yeah.
Like, I guess I can't really fault them. Yeah, so Chiron leads an attack against the SDF-1 once again. Actually successful this time, in that he manages to, like, get into Macross City, and they're fighting in the city, which is neat, because, among other things, we don't see a lot of that through much of the show. But the wrinkle here is that the sort of, I guess, the Earth culture cult Zentradi have miniaturized themselves because they all want to defect.
Yeah,
and
they all
want to
defect to
join
the Macross and basically watch Minmay sing.
Yeah, so they sort of just leave Chiron at one point.
Yeah, Chiron like starts freaking
multiple
out.
Multiple battle pods, and I think he starts shooting at them.
Yeah,
like,
he shoots a couple of them down and stuff.
In all of this, there is a concert happening with Minmay, where Lynn Kyle forces her to sing despite the fact that they're under attack.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, no, you gotta keep singing. Do it for the people. Which, and it's just like, Jesus.
Yeah. He gets hit in the head with a falling light from, like, the rigging on top of the stage.
Which would
and
kill
is just
you.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, just bloody. No. A real hero Yui falling from a Gundam cockpit onto his head, completely impossible to survive situation. But, and then this is the scene where the cousin thing gets real creepy because he just starts kissing her, like,
yeah,
without permission, I might add.
Yeah, yeah.
She struggles. And he's just like, nope, gonna do it. Like a real
piece
creep.
Of shit. Yeah, and Rick notices, and he's like, oh, I hate this. I hate everything.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Rick is like, oh, you know, blurg, they're gonna date, I guess.
Yeah, right. No comment about their relationship, but yeah.
Yeah. So, the defectors from the Zentradi are given political asylum, because it turns out that their genetic makeup's pretty much identical to humans.
Yep.
And also their obsession with the culture means that they're not really in a fighting mood anymore. And the battle is over, of course. There, I believe there's an interview with Lynn Kyle and Minmay where they ask about marriage rumors between the two of them. Once again, glossing over the fact that they're cousins. Like, I honestly...
I don't know if it's just more acceptable in Japan or just what.
I mean, that could be the thing, I guess.
Like
that's the only real explanation I can think of.
I mean, especially if it's like, I know for sure it's probably, I mean, it's slightly less taboo if it's like not blood, but that's also kind of the same in America. Just, it's all generally pretty taboo in America.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty awkward.
I'm not gonna sit here and defend
exactly.
The kissing cousins angle, but it is just, I mean, again, it's just a thing that seems like they could have very easily written it out without losing anything.
Instead, we had to make Minmay 15.
Yeah, yeah, but Lisa in the final episode tries to convince the government that they should sue for peace with the Zentradi because of the culture aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
And her dad's like, sure, we'll make peace with them after we fucking shoot this laser cannon at them to show them who's boss.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's a horrible
idea. She claims
won't
do anything to their ships. And I was like, man, I would hope this enormous laser cannon does something at least.
Yeah, she's not. I don't think she's saying it's not going to be effective at destroying their ships, but it's just going to piss them off and make them like.
Yeah.
She's like, their fleet is like millions of those gigantic ships. Like, we have no hope except by trying to make peace. And he's just like, nah, it's cool. And then Max like play. And then meanwhile, the female Zentradi pilot has infiltrated on her own because she was like so impressed with Max's fighting on the battlefield that she's like, you know, I have to go in and find this guy and I guess fight him. Or like, so she micronizes herself, sneaks in, and it's just kind of hanging around and trying to look for the person she's fighting. Meanwhile, she's playing at an arcade, playing this like kind of Macross simulator game.
Yeah, like a very quick development of a game based on the current conflict.
Yeah, right. It's like they had to have developed that game in the last 2 years while they were in space.
Also, it's worth pointing out that the owner of this arcade has the craziest character design. Like, the main characters look more normal than he
does. What
does
he look like again? He has like a mohawk or something.
He has like a mohawk that's half dyed red and then like cat's eye glasses and like a Fu Manchu mustache. Like, he just looks crazy.
Yeah, it's like
he's the most bizarre looking background character I think I've seen.
Character design is just like, fuck it.
Yeah, like I just want to draw this crazy dude. Like, what's he going to do? I mean, I guess owning an arcade is as good a thing as any, like, but it's hilarious how bonkers his design is.
And so we kind of wrap up, like, she and Max fight on this, not fight, but they play this game.
Yeah, they play this game against each other, and
they're both
have flashbacks
really good
to the fight.
Yeah, and
that they actually fought in reality.
He manages to win and like walks off. I'm not sure if she's figured it out just yet.
No, she leaves and he's like extremely insistent that they have to go out on a date.
He's like, yeah, if I beat you, let's go on a date. All right, yeah, hey, let's
possibly meet. Because they both have weird colored hair.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, all right, well, let's meet in the park. And she's like, fine, whatever. Yeah,
yeah. And that's pretty much where we leave off.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to the break, and then after that, we're going to talk about our thoughts a little bit, share the results of our bet, and make a new one.
Yeah.
And that'll be after this.
Robotech will continue in a moment.
Hey, it's Michael here, taking a break to tell you about other ways you can support the podcast, as I always do during the break. You can find us on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Of course, you're probably listening to one of those services, but why not subscribe to another one? Having more subscribers always helps. We also have a Facebook fan page where we post multiple times a week, usually screen caps, occasional jokes, and episodes. That can be found at facebook.com/HBpod. And we have a Twitter account that I handed over to Peter, so will it be tweeting more? Probably, because I barely ever tweeted while I was in charge of it. That Twitter account can be found at HBpod. Our next episode will be going up on March 22nd, and we'll be back to our thoughts on this block of Robotech in just a moment.
You're watching Robotech.
And we're back. So, what are your thoughts on this this block? I'm kind of curious about your take, given that you're more familiar with the series.
Right. Still seems to follow the series, the main points generally. You know, I'm sure there's still small stuff cut out that I haven't, you know, I'm not going to sit around and just watch, compare two episodes, you know, compare Japanese to American the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the point of this.
And that exists.
And that, I'm like, sure that exists, exactly.
Totally.
So, generally, yeah, I'm enjoying it. And all of this stuff is stuff I remember from the original. I'm glad I got to show you, I'm glad we got to Pineapple Salad. It's a great classic death.
Yeah.
Unforgettable. The sacrifice of Roy Fokker. self-sacrifice, you might say.
Man, I want to find like a pineapple salad recipe and post that along with this episode.
What is pineapple salad?
It's probably just fruit salad that has a lot of pineapple in it. Like,
It looks like it had lettuce in it, dude.
All right. Yeah, that might actually be good.
Yeah, yeah. People put fruits and stuff. People put whatever the hell they want. So
yeah, I made a salad the other day that had orange in it.
Oh, look at you.
Fucking gripping conversation right now.
You and your salad.
Yeah.
And I made today a fucking sandwich that was just a bagel and lunch meat. And that's what I have every day. It's delicious.
This has been the Lunch Cast.
Yeah. Toonami.
Where we talk about what we eat sometimes.
I enjoyed this block. I'm curious to hear what you thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, okay,
there's some twists and turns, but it's like it might be a little overall less eventful than the first block.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about it, and like, here's the thing about Robotech that I'm getting a little tired of. And in all fairness, this does not just apply to Robotech. So this is more like an extended critique against, I guess, everything we've watched so far to an extent. But I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, like I really liked Chiron at first. He had like, he's kind of a badass. The first episode he really features in is the one with the gravity mines, where his plan basically works.
Yeah.
For the most part. And I liked his relationship with Britai in what I think is best described as like a police sergeant and a loose cannon detective. Yeah. He's like, damn it, like, Chiron, you gotta follow the rules, and Chiron just gives him the finger and does whatever he wants. Like, that's...
Oh, man, I would love that version of this, like, a Lethal Weapon yeah, movie right. with Chiron.
And that's pretty cool, but the thing is, like, at this point, Chiron's attacked the SDF-1 basically once an episode, completely ineffectually, and, like, it's really just a case of... If I'm honest, in a lot of episodes, the action scenes don't really do a lot for me because it's kind of like samey a lot of the time.
It's samey and it can be a real mess too.
Yeah, right.
It's
just ships flying around shooting each other.
Yeah.
Like, and there's ways to do that that's really cool, and sometimes it is cool, and there's stuff like the Daedalus maneuver is awesome, for example.
Yeah,
like, that's
yeah.
badass. But a lot of it's just planes sort of flying around and being blown up. And not, yep. like, necessarily framed in an interesting way. And also, like, it just makes Chiron look like an idiot. Like, he never succeeds. After his initial appearance, he's, like, really threatening.
Right.
So, and again, like, don't get me wrong. This is not symptomatic of just Robotech. Like, Gundam Wing was the same way. The action scenes are kind of obligatory.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I was thinking about it in the context of a much more modern show, obviously. But Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, one thing I kind of appreciate about it is it does have episodes, not just every once in a while, but like with some frequency, where there's just not a lot of action going on. It's just plot stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm really interested in with Robotech right now is... the three Zentradi spies and the Zentradi, like, trying to comprehend Earth culture. Or not even comprehend it, because I feel like that stuff kind of gets into, like, the, oh, they don't get it
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right, kind of samey, but
I do really like their, like, them telling stories to the other Zentradi, and, like, them being on the ship was pretty consistently funny and weird. And, like, I wish that it concentrated on that stuff like more, because
yeah,
right
the,
now
the to me the action scenes in watching the original Macross and watching this had always kind of been secondary. Just because the animation's not spectacular, it's pretty old, it's pretty dated, so it's like there is some really cool looking stuff, I'm sure, but you see a lot of the same stuff over and over again. It's like, okay, I know what an attack looks like. Mm-hmm. I know what an enemy attack will look like. when it's happening. I don't need to see it all the time.
Right, right. And this is just and generally, like, again,
it is more of the character stuff and the overarching mm-hmm. plot that I enjoy about the series.
But the thing is, like, I'm honestly not really that sold on any of the main characters still. Uh-huh. Like, I still don't really care about Rick. Mostly because of the same thing that I talked about last time. Like, I don't care about Minmay really at all. Uh-huh. And Rick is still very much like Minmay a lot, which
yeah, right.
is annoying to me.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Ben because he was just normal.
Chummy.
But now he's dead.
Yeah. Max is like a like, superhuman.
Yeah, Max is just badass at everything. And, like, so, like, I guess right now the characters I care, like, I most find interest in and I'm, like, happy to see them on screen is the three Zentradi spies. And I don't know, like, I want to see, like, a version of this that's a sitcom with them living together like Justice Friends or whatever it was called,
and trying to hide the fact that there's Zentradi.
Yeah, exactly. Like
I like this idea. They get invited to like parties and stuff and like we have to look normal.
Yeah, and then they're there and they're like, why are they clapping? Like what is this birthday but situation?
They, like, for some reason, they have to be giant sometimes. So, like, all right, you got to hide in the basement while giant
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they're giant when it crosses over with the cop show that's Chiron and Britai. Like, I would watch like, the shit out of it. That would be a great show.
I used my reverse shrink ray. Yeah. The people are just like, oh, okay. That's a kooky invention.
That would be, seriously though, that could easily be a sitcom, because the whole thing is just these weird characters in totally mundane situations. Like,
I would really like to see, like, someone cut together a classic 80s sitcom opening over footage of them bumbling around, like, oh, those three guys, look at them.
Like, unfortunately, that trope's pretty played out at this point,
but I might do that.
Like, that would be brilliant. Oh my god, I might have to do
that, like, that's too good. I know it's a trope, but come on.
Yeah, you just have the one shot where the larger ones in a dress and they're like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, like, what's happening? That part's ridiculous. Like,
oh man,
people would giggle or something, probably, especially in the 80s, but like the idea of everyone stopping and being like, let's circle around this guy and laugh at him. It's like, okay, yeah. I get it. He's wearing a dress.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Man. But, I mean, like, so far, I'm still pretty lukewarm on the series, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that those aspects, like, I like the cultural divide / like, learning about human culture.
Yeah.
And I think the overall plot, the whole protoculture thing is still something I'm interested in, although I feel like they didn't really touch on it a whole lot in these episodes, necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of my already basic understanding of what it is. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm very curious to see how they meld this to, you know, the next series.
That's going to be crazy.
And that's going to be a next block, so I'm, like, really curious about that, but...
Well, yeah, so the next block is going to take us through to the end of the first season, which is Macross, you know, or as they call it, as in Robotech would call it, the Macross Saga.
Sorry, I just had to get my notes so I could talk about the list of animation errors.
So the thing about the animation errors is that it was an okay bet. Like, personally, I just found it a little annoying to, like, constantly try and keep track of them.
Yeah,
especially when we had different definitions. Like, at first we were like, oh, do we count like messed up eyes? And I was like, yeah, I think we should, because I don't think we're gonna make 50 if you don't. And that's like half the fun is the messed up eyes, which there's some good moments.
Yeah, there's one particularly memorable one of Lin Kyle and Minmay, of course, where it's like a shot of Lin Kyle with messed up eyes, and then a shot of Minmay with just no eyes, just like black pits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I gotta send you some of the screen caps I have of that to put on like the episode posting.
Oh yeah,
we can't just tease this shit and be like, oh, go find it yourself on frame 45 of
second
three. Like, yeah. So,
but
so I'll
by
do
my
that.
Count, there were 44. Looks like 44 animation errors. So I lost. God damn it again. I think you're just going to pick everything we watch for this entire podcast.
Yeah, apparently. That's fine. I mean, like, we're running out of things that I really want to watch from this era of Toonami. We're trying to stick to, like, the old era. You know, so, like, pre-Tom 2, I guess, in this case. So, you know. There's stuff I want to watch, don't get me wrong, but there's stuff that I'm also terrified of watching and that it might be completely insufferable. Like Reboot, which I want to watch, but I really don't want to watch. I'm so back and forth. I was so obsessed with that show as a kid.
Yeah, Reboot is like one of the ones that I'm so curious about, even though I'm sure it'll be very difficult to watch just based on the animation. But we'll see when we get there.
So yeah, so what do you think about an over-under bet for this next block of episodes? I don't mind who comes up with it, but I was just thinking, you know, an easy and good one to do would be over under Minmay singing. Like, how many times is Minmay
is a really good one. Okay,
because you get it a lot. And I'm not gonna go specific song, I'll just do in general Minmay singing.
What about like 6 or 7, maybe 8?
Let's see. Now in I do 12 have a episodes? Little bit of I'll let you pick over under because I have a little bit of an advantage, and I kind of remember, like, I know there
yeah,
is singing
you've seen it already
in the remainder of the show.
Oh,
I don't
I'm
know
sure.
how much. I don't think it's too small, but you say a number and I'll give. I mean, what, 6 is pretty good. It might
all
be
right,
too much. I want to do, let's do 4.
Okay. That does sound really good, actually.
Crazy, but yeah.
In 12 episodes, though, like, 4 is too much? Like, that seems pretty plausible to me.
No, 4 is too little.
Oh.
Well, in 12, yeah, okay, 4. 4.
Okay, 4. I'm going to go over.
You'll go over, I'll go under 4. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I can't wait to watch Minmay sing 3 times.
Yeah.
Or 4 times. But I think that's about it. I think we can wrap this up.
Yeah. Carry
wrap
on
it up
the next climactic block of episodes. I
do
think
the rap
like
rap. Should we learn the rap rap so that we can wrap it up
doing
the rap rap? The rap rap, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming out of their shells tour Christmas song about
don't
wrapping presents
shit
and it's a
out
rap.
Of nowhere. I hardly know what the coming out of our shells tour is. Was that the one where they are on ice?
I don't think so.
I think they did like an ice capade thing too.
Probably.
I mean, that's
the one where there's like a stage show and Shredder has a really crappy costume.
Out of our shells. Yeah.
There's a rap about rap in presents.
I thought you were talking about the Rap Rap video board game, which is even even more obscured, like stupid commercial YouTube
video.
Yeah,
that would be really
rap.
I mean,
Rat's
I wouldn't put it past
the
myself, but
video board game. You started now. This is a problem.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Peter Eby. That's Michael Doak. This is Hyperspace Broadcasts. Be sure to rate, subscribe, to, you know, review us.
Just revisit us next week for
Please.
More Robotech and
anything.
Weird, dumb conversations like this.
Contact us. We're not sure if there's anyone outside of our little room to record this.
Some acknowledgements. The bumpers were taken from the video Toonami Late 99 Midnight Run Promers and Bumpers, uploaded by Cartoon Network Archive, and the opening and closing music is Vapor Diving by Onatech, off the album Onatech Instrumentals, Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and it's pretty awesome, so you should totally do that. Like, right now. Rights were secured through Jamendo.